This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Roshan Kunnison and you're listening to Ring It In Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Today on the show, I have a firm that wants to change the framework of ATMs and banks. SoCash wants to tap into the region's dependence on cash while making the distribution network of banks more efficient and hopefully cheaper. So while everyone else, including the government, seems to be banking on the cashless train, SoCash seems to be banking on, well, the banks. Now, to talk about this further, I have Hari Shivan, CEO of SoCash, in the studio with me. Welcome to the show, Hari.
Great to be here.
Now, as always, you can let us know what you think on Twitter at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Now, on with the show. So, Hari, first things first, what is SoCash?
SoCash, as the name suggests, focuses on cash, and we work on making cash distribution efficient. Our goal is to make every shop and every person into a virtual ATM as a first step, and then add-on services, which would be categorized as basic banking. So it's really about deconstructing the banking distribution using the demand for cash.
A lot of very interesting terms you've used. You want to make every shop a cash point. You want to decentralize the banking system, or more specifically, the network behind the banking system. Now, how are you going to do that?
So if you take a step back and if you look at current banking, in a very generic sense, so you have got branches and then you have got ATMs as the primary touch points for consumers, as well as for businesses who want to, to do banking services. And this has been the case for the last 30, 40 years. Now, this is not scaling. This network is not scaling. At the same time, the banks are going digital. More and more services, more and more payments are becoming digital. What it means is that it is impossible for most banks to continue in the same framework that has been, the last two, three decades. We are offering a new distribution where it enables banks to focus on their core competency, build digital platforms, whereas a lot of the teller functions or what happens in a branch can be done in shops via cashiers. I mean, just like telcos, if you see, the distribution network of telcos actually are small shops. So they have very few flagship stores. And most of the sales actually happens through the franchisees or the distributors. And it's all enabled using technology platforms, let's say a SIM card or a top-up and all that stuff. So we're looking at a future where banks are going digital and the online to offline handoff will be done by the neighborhood shops.
Right. So you're telling me about a future where ATMs no longer exist in their current form.
So if you look at the numbers, ATMs are definitely on the decline. In Southeast Asia, except in certain countries where there is a mandate by the regulator to increase financial inclusion, that the machines have to go up. But fundamentally, it's a supply chain that cannot scale beyond a point because it's super expensive. And the machines per se are not the problem. It's the supply chain of cash logistics, which is like refilling cash every night and then, running trucks loaded with cash and armored guards and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's a supply chain, which is a problem. And that is what we are removing. So you may see ATMs, for some more time. But the goal really is to make the supply chain more efficient.
Yeah, I find that very fascinating, right? What you're talking about is you are getting rid of the physical movement of cash by the banks.
Yep.
So you're saying that the bank is going to start outsourcing the supply chain. Are they going to just stop doing that by themselves?
The supply chain is already outsourced to companies, which are basically security companies, who have no competence in running supply chains. So mm-hmm. there is nothing much more to outsource. So, and that's also the reason why the cost of cash is so high, in the sense for the banks. Cost of managing cash. So you have to manage the machines, you have to manage the supply chain, and then you have to put people behind it. It's actually a huge operation. Like if you talk to any of the top 10 banks, they will say, hey, if there is a model that allows me to get out of this, I will do it tomorrow. And that's exactly what we offer by making cash social. So if I want cash, I can get it from you, from a colleague in this office, or let's say from the shop downstairs.
So for the banks, I see the benefit. They really want to just scale down that operation over there. It sounds very heavy. On the day-to-day basis, how is this going to look? The cash isn't going to be moved by armored guards and vans and all of that. So where is the cash going to come from?
There is a lot of cash that is floating in the community and your immediate neighborhood. So shops, your neighbors, restaurants, places where we visit multiple times in our day-to-day, you know, like our 24 hours. So there is a lot of floating cash. There is no need to run a supply chain unless you need a lot of cash. Right, for our day-to-day needs, there is sufficient cash in the community. The problem right now is that it is not moving. Mm-hmm. And we can use digital payments as a backbone for enabling those exchanges. But what comes out in your hand is cash. So your question was, how does it work? And let's say I want 100 ringgit. So let's say the bank is connected to SoCash. Your mobile banking application is your interface. So it's actually a search which tells you the shops or let's say your neighbors who have cash to deposit, mm-hmm. which is the liquidity that is needed. And then the platform actually matches. So let's say you want 100 ringgit, then it will give you a list of shops. It could be like MyNews, it could be 7-Eleven, it could be the neighborhood shop or the restaurant. And then you basically go and collect cash. What the platform really does is that it debits your account securely and moves the 100 ringgit into the retailer's account. So instead of retailer needing to go and deposit money like two times a day or worry about theft and all that stuff because there is cash increasing in a shop, we are making the cash flow within the community multiple times.
Okay, so you are essentially a platform that is connecting the supply and demand of money, but in a more democratic way or decentralized way, to be more accurate.
You're totally right. So we match the supply and demand, but the underlying settlement is the important stuff. Mm-hmm. So there is a search which does the matching. The settlement requires good payment platforms, and that's where we are relevant right now. Could we have done this 5 years back in any country in Southeast Asia? No. But now that there is enough innovation on the digital payment side where you can do instant transfers at very low cost, you can actually create these distributed platforms, which replaces the ATM, then the switch, you know, the whole infrastructure that mm-hmm. currently exists.
You're tuned in to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Up next, we're going to continue this discussion with a look at where SoCash can take this platform and the other issues that commonly come up with cash. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, thanks for staying with us here on Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Today on the show, I have Hari Shivan, CEO of SoCash, and we're talking about the existing system behind cash and how SoCash wants to change that. Now, when we left off, we were talking about how SoCash is going to make it easier to deposit money and withdraw money and basically remove ATMs from the equation in the longer term. So, Hari, how does the cashless revolution play into all of this?
It's a very good question. When we started SoCash in 2016 in Singapore, we were hoping that the cashless revolution or the less cash movement in Southeast Asia, you know, would probably take 2 years. And, you know, that was a perfect opportunity because then you don't need large amounts of cash. All you would need is like, you know, small amounts and then, you know, our model is a perfect fit. Unfortunately, in Singapore or any of the other markets, if you look at the data, what we are seeing is the bank notes and coins in circulation are actually increasing. So we started off from a point hoping of riding the trend, but now we see that our product has to take care of a much, much more larger volumes and, you know, our volumes are growing crazy. So that's the reality on the ground. And you can look at the bank, you know, the central bank numbers and, you know, it's very clear. Having said that, what we find is no one payment option would satisfy any society, right? So you would have debit cards, you would have credit cards, you would have wallets, you would have cash. And there is always a mix and match. And it's not a singular decision taken either by the consumer or the retailer, and specifically definitely not by, you know, the consultants and the evangelist. So it's a very complicated thing. Like if you look at, let's say, developed markets, let's say US or let's say Australia or Japan, again, the usage of cash is actually increasing. So it is not that they don't have the there's no problem with infrastructure or anything, but it's just that you need to have a more efficient product than cash for day-to-day transactions to completely replace cash. So we do see a shift in market, you know, a few percentages here and there. But is there a dramatic shift to define it as a revolution? Not yet.
So unlike cash, which is just using the physical currency, when it comes to e-wallets, we've got, 15, 40 different types of licenses in this country. And that can be very messy if you have to switch between wallets. Now, in that system, where does SoCash play a role?
We don't play that role at all. In fact, we are watching from the gallery. So as I said, our job is building the network, building the distribution, and we just used cash as a way to do that. But now your question is like a more of a product question, like why not and all that stuff. So broadly, for any payment system, you define like a few variables. Let's say, is it universally accepted? Is there a cost? What are the settlement times and what is the learning curve? Like, you know, from a consumer payment systems. So wallets have their own problem because they're not universally accepted. That's what you said, like 20 plus wallets in the market. For cards and, the card industry, the merchant fees have always been the problem, you know, and then there have been many experiments of capping the fees and all that stuff. It hasn't really worked. The biggest thing is learning curve. How many people actually know that when they swipe their card, they're paying like 24-25% interest, you know? So there is a financial literacy part as well. And it doesn't happen overnight. And everybody has when they have a choice, they make a different choice. So it is definitely going to be multiple baskets and one product probably taking the market share from the other. The good news is that nobody really pushes or owns cash. Mm-hmm. So it's there. It's probably like 99% of the market in most of Asia. When is the shift going to be a revolution? Like, I don't know. If someone knows, they can email me.
So Hari, do you believe that cash is king?
If you look at the data right now and the trends for, let's say, last 10 years, and let's say you do a straight line projection, cash is definitely increasing and it's probably the emperor in any retail market. I mean, if you just say percentage numbers will be like 90, 95, 100%. Cash in any, like if you just pick up markets in Southeast Asia. So no doubt about that. If you ask me till when is the cash going to be the king, I don't know, but looks like the runway is a couple of decades. And when will that shift happen, which is what often I get asked. And my answer is you need a better product.
Okay. And you were talking about cards being universal, but it can be expensive for the merchants, right? How does SoCash change the merchant experience when it comes to payments and cash?
Yeah, that's very interesting. So first of all, cards are not universal because mm-hmm. there is no, every card has a threshold before they can, any customer can get it. So leaving that aside, it's very important. SoCash is a platform that brings businesses to retail. So imagine a shop which is selling, let's say, Coke, Pepsi, newspapers, groceries, and all that stuff. Suddenly, you download an application, which is the shopkeeper, and he becomes an extension of the branch. And when people look for basic banking services, the neighborhood store is able to do that service. So we bring in footfalls, we bring in revenue, because the banks are happy to pay the network for the job that they're doing. It's on variable cost per transaction. So suddenly, from a bank's perspective, it's a lot more economic model than, investing and, putting up neon bulbs and all that stuff. From a retailer perspective, it's really footfalls, additional revenue without any investment, because he's not buying a machine or putting up a kiosk, any of that stuff. He's just using his spare time, spare capacity on an on-demand basis. And the application is actually guiding people to go to shop A for this function, shop B for that function. So it's just free money.
Is this a form of Uberization of the financial industry?
Yeah, so I use the word deconstruction, but you're right. So it's about finding excess capacity mm-hmm. in terms of time and skill, providing a platform for financial services.
Now, that sounds very interesting. And I think that provides the context for this. It's like an e-hailing driver having an app and they can get their jobs there. On the demand side, I can be like, I want a delivery done, I want food, or I want a car. The supply side gets the fee and I get the product I want. And you are in the middle facilitating that platform.
Totally right. We are orchestrating those exchanges. And as a platform, we want to connect consumers, banks, and retailers. In economics 101, there is the flow of goods and flow of value. Mm-hmm. It happens disconnected in opposite direction. Yeah. So from a platform perspective, our goal really is to connect this for financial services.
Yeah, you're a market essentially.
Exactly.
Now, Uber and Grab all started off as just ride hailing and they've expanded. What does the outlook look like for SoCash?
So that comparison is quite exciting for me to do. we are basically focused on Southeast Asia and identifying markets where banks are digitizing. In fact, three markets in Southeast Asia, have either announced or are announcing virtual banking licenses, which fundamentally means that the regulators feel that the market is ready for new players to come and lower the cost of banking or increase the access of banking. And for next 3 years, we'll be focused on expanding this platform in providing distribution for those banks, as well as the incumbents. I mean, the incumbents are not sitting quiet. They're building their own ideas and platforms. So for the incumbents, it's really expanding the network. For the newcomers, we will be offering our network. And we are basically furiously building the thousands of, we're connecting thousands of shops. And identifying which shop for what function and trying to do the mapping right now.
Okay. And who are the incumbents right now?
If you look at any Southeast market, you have this one large bank, which probably has at least 30% of the market share. And then you have the nine banks on the retail side who probably cover another 40%. And then you have the tail end. So the incumbents are definitely the top 10. They own the customer relationships. It will be similar to what we see in airlines, where the budget airline comes, and of course it doesn't, it does shift the market, but the large incumbents will have to react. So I believe that the regulators have been looking at it, and now they sense that it's probably a little bit more fair in terms of the last 3 years. The technology of the incumbents have actually improved. And now it's fair to let competition in.
And lastly, Hari, can you paint us a picture? What's the financial system from a consumer side going to possibly look like in 4 years, 5 years, if SoCash gets its way?
So let me take the example of one use case, which is travel. Most people book tickets online. They book their hotels online, even their tours online. They only go to the only hassle they have is going to the money changer before they take the trip, or when they land in the destination airport. And when you go to a money changer, you have no idea what you're doing, but you just need cash because you can't read that display. The rates are arbitrary. It's a pretty painful experience. With SoCash, today, if you come to Singapore, if you want to convert your ringgit into, let's say, a few hundred dollars for your daily expenses, SoCash can do that. So we are solving problems which are taken for granted that you have to do this, which is like a visit to a money changer for travel. And we are creating those use cases so that the banks can offer this as a service. So take out your bank's application. You go to, let's say, one of the networks in 7-Eleven. You withdraw cash. You should be able to do the conversion. I mean, that's the vision.
All right. So we're looking at a cross-country use here.
Exactly. So once we create this network in Southeast Asia, you can create a lot of cross-country usage because we see a lot of exchanges of people on business, on travel, and you can actually scale up the banking services into a lot more integrated into the person's life.
Okay. And on that note, I'd like to thank you for joining me today, Hari. I wish you all the best and let's see how SoCash does.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Now, before we end, remember that Roomit is back for season 2. So go check that out on BFM's Facebook page, YouTube channel, or roomit.my. This is Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Up next is the 10 a.m. News Bulletin and then Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.